The Vintage Valkyrie is an amazing little shop that can be found on Etsy. The super lovely owner makes handcrafted jewelry and cards inspired by films, TV, books and games. And she's appeared at a major comic con here in London.
She's just made a Captain America Shield greeting card, which looks amazing. And she's uploaded it to her shop, so go check it out.
She's even made a Captain America bracelet. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
She makes other pieces too, inspired by Dungeons & Dragons, Back to the Future, including the Flux Capacitor earrings, which we both own.
Yes.
Final Fantasy, Harry Potter, and much more. You can find them all there for your geeky needs, or your friend's geeky needs, or your girlfriend's geeky needs, whoever needs them. Treat yourself.
What's great is that she's also open to custom pieces, so we highly recommend her shop. She's talented and puts her heart and soul into each and every piece, so defo check out her shop, The Vintage Valkyrie, on Etsy, and make sure you shop small.
It's important to help these businesses out, especially in times like these. And as a little gift from us and The Vintage Valkyrie, you can receive a 10% discount on the shop now if you use the promo code GEEKLYRECAP in capitals.
Woo! Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Geekly Recap, where you can listen to me, Hava, and Meryl, talk to you about your favourite TV shows and films week by week. We get into all the details so you don't have to, and hopefully help you answer some questions too, because we're nice like that.
We really are. But how dare you call me Magoo?
Sorry.
This week, Harvey and I are hitting you with another great episode for our movie week. We asked and you answered. So here it is, an episode all about the hit 90s Jim Carrey comedy classic, Liar Liar.
This is one of my faves, a film I know all too well. Has it stood up to its standards? Is it as great as I remember, or is it filled with controversy? I'm interested to know what you think, Meryl, and what you think. Yep, you.
Get in touch with us as usual on our socials, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Geekly Recap Pod, or head to our website, geeklyrecap.weebly.com. We are loving all your photos and comments, so keep them coming.
Especially after this episode. You chose it, so hit that subscribe button right now, and let's begin. Hey Meryl, how's it going?
Hey Harper, it's going all right. How is it going with you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. I've been home this week, so that was nice.
Nice.
Back to work next week. Boo.
Boo. Well, hopefully the weather will be a little bit less horrible.
I know. I hate the fact that we're being really British about this, but the weather has been so bad.
Sorry,
guys.
We have to talk about it. It's horrible.
Like, as we're talking right now, the wind is blowing the tree all over the place outside my window.
God, yeah, no, it's really horrible outside. It's funny though, because during lockdown, I think the weather was like one of the things no one really talked about anymore. Because no. You're like, you're not going out in it, so who cares? You'd just be talking about the pandemic. You'd be like, oh, this pandemic. But yeah. Now that things are starting to open up, you know straight away, because the first thing that happens is the weather. Everyone yes. starts talking about the weather again.
And it's basically just been stormy all throughout May. I think we've had one good day in May.
Have we?
Which was, yeah, the 7th of May.
Oh, I like that. She made a note of that.
I did, because it's Jade's birthday. Happy birthday, Jade, or belated birthday.
Oh,
but she
belated.
Had plans outside, and obviously it worked in her favour, because it was the one good day in May.
Well, here, apparently there's going to be some kind of heat coming soon, so fingers crossed.
Oh, God, I'm going to be one of those Brits that strips off for the one day of summer in the park sunbathing. But it has been nice to be getting out and doing some stuff. I just wish the weather would, you know. I really wanted to go out and roller skate and I haven't been able to.
Well, the wind might help push you.
Yeah, but I don't know how to.
That will be assisting.
How would I stop? Or it'll be blowing me the other way.
Well, your mum will be along with you. You're fine.
I know. I can't believe I'm going to take my mum for this, but I have
oh,
to.
Please.
I need some protection.
I'm just glad it's not me.
Oh, that's what you think.
However, I can't meet up ever.
Little do you know what I have planned for your birthday.
You better be skating to my house. That better be your plan for my birthday.
Actually, I'll be delivering a pair to you, so you'll be skating all the way to me.
What a waste of money. Don't do it.
But your birthday is coming up.
Yeah.
It's less than a month away now.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited for it.
Well, I'm glad you are.
I am, because I'm planning stuff for you. And,
well,
you know.
That's lovely. I'm just dreading it. Not your plans, obviously,
wow.
but just,
wow.
just aging and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I was depressed after my birthday, so I totally get that.
Well, I'm depressed leading up to it, and then it'll be after it, and then, yeah.
Well, I can't say to you what I have planned, but In my head, it's amazing.
Oh my God. She's getting me Chris Evans, guys.
Yeah, okay. It's not going to be that amazing.
Oh.
All I can say is that it'll involve me and it will involve food.
Well, that's like every time we meet.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Make sure you have something nice.
What does that even mean?
You just need to pick an outfit for someplace nice. Anyway, this week... This week, we ended up putting a poll up on Instagram, didn't we? And Twitter, I believe.
Yes. And Facebook.
And Facebook. And Meryl and I both chose two films each, and we decided it was a film we know like the back of our hands and a film we like but we haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I chose Predator and Liar Liar, and you chose...
National Lampoon's Vacation and Starship Troopers.
And it was a very tight call in the end, wasn't it?
It was. It was between... two very different kinds of movies.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers and Liar Liar. So one from my list and one from yours. And Liar Liar just snagged it.
I was actually surprised.
I was surprised too. Film. I mean, I love it too, but I wouldn't have thought it would be the most popular. So maybe it just means that the other choices were crap.
I don't know. But like we also, I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't want to give away a completely obvious choice. Like, for example... Back to the Future for us. Like,
exactly.
And it had to be a film that we also felt like watching. So 10 Things I Hate About You is another film I know like the back of my hand, but I watched that not too long ago, so I didn't feel like watching it again, which is why I put up Liar Liar. I mean, for me, most of the films I know all too well are 90s Jim Carrey classics.
Yeah. No, I mean, for me, like, I went up my choices. I mean, they don't matter because we're talking about Liar Liar. But, yeah, it was quite a struggle because, like you said, you don't want to pick something you've watched so much, but it's kind of like, it doesn't even excite you to, not in a bad way, but, you know, if you've watched it and dissected it a million times, so it doesn't have that same effect. Like, Back to the Future, we've watched, we've talked about to death. Like, what more is there to say?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Liar Liar, I mean, at least it's, even though we've watched it a lot, we've never talked about it.
We've spoken more about Dumb and Dumber, which is why I didn't put Dumb and Dumber on the list, because that's another one that we love.
I just figured Dumb and Dumber would just be me and Harvard back and forthing Harry and Lloyd lines.
Which we can still do.
We should do that.
That may be another episode.
I call Lloyd.
Damn it! Hey, I'm no longer blonde.
Doesn't matter. You're still slightly less dumb. See, I gave you a compliment.
I'd still love the line, I got robbed by a little old lady on a motorized car.
Didn't even see it coming.
Oh God, I got one thing to say, guys, is prepare, because we've got notes, but I will say our notes are just quotes, so there's going to be a lot during this.
You're a poet, you don't know it. All right, well, stop being pathetic. Maybe.
Maybe. Slightly. Maybe she will. I won't.
No, I won't.
But for me, I mean, I watched this loads of times when I was a kid, and I was probably too young to watch it. But it's not bad, but there's a lot of aspects in it that's not suitable for kids.
When did you first watch it? Like, was it when it was just released, sort of, so you were really young?
I'm going to say yes, because your brother had got me the VHS tape back in the day. I would assume it was the most a year or two after it'd come out.
Okay.
Because only after watching it yesterday, and maybe I noticed it before, but only after rewatching it yesterday did I realise that I was the same age as Max. And maybe that's why I connected to it a lot in some ways. There's like certain things that happen when we get into it that I just went, I can understand how he was feeling. So yeah, maybe that's why I just totally loved it. And I love Jim Carrey.
Yeah, you can't not. I mean, I know there's people that don't, but you're wrong. Jim Carrey's great. I mean, for me, I was in my teens when this film came out. I think I went to see it at the cinema and I did like it. But yeah, it's interesting because we'll be talking about this film, but we're coming from two kind of different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So like Harvard said, she was like Max's age. And well, at the time I was no one's age in it. But now I looked at IMDb and I was like, I'm older than Jim Carrey was in this movie. That was quite depressing. Yeah. He was like in his early to mid 30s in this film. Oh my God, I just gave away my age. I'm 35.
Yeah, what I didn't realise was Jim Carrey and, the guy that plays Jerry, I forgot his name. So I'm just
Carrey Elwes. I can't remember. I don't know if I'm ever saying his last name right.
Is it Elwes or Elvis?
I say Elwes. I don't know.
Is it Elwes?
I don't know. That's how I've always said it.
Well, Carrie, assuming that's how you pronounce his first name, they were the same age. Having said that, Jerry looks like a baby-faced little kid in this film as well. Yeah. They were born in 1962. It's like, wow, it hits you. Because you watch that film and you don't realise how old it actually is.
I know. I was like, 97? Oh, my God.
I know. There were some great classics, though. Like, the Jim Carrey-wise, if we're going...
Oh, yeah. I mean, might as well talk a little bit about Jim Carrey and gush over the man.
Yeah.
I'd seen him in... He was in, like, a sketch show that Americans probably knew more than here, but in Living Colour, it was called. And that's where I had seen him. I think it was on Sky One when I was a kid. And I think his character, the characters he would play were always kind of crazy, like just really wacky, really different. He really did stand out. So when Ace Ventura came out, I went to see it with my brother because he was like, it's that guy from In Living Colour. We're like, we've got to see him be a nutter on his own. And obviously he did not disappoint.
He is. I mean, I've mentioned it to you million times. I'm not one for slapstick comedy.
Really? I am.
Well, I'm talking like Mr. Bean. Like, I enjoy
it. Oh, I love
it,
Mr.
And it was,
Bean.
And it was funny. I enjoyed it at the time.
No, I love it all the time.
It's not one that I would go back I'll be like, this is, yeah, but you're wrong. And this is
how dare you.
But Jim Carrey doesn't just rely on that, which is what I love about it. He's so smart in the way, not only that he delivers it, but it's the lines as well as his actions, which is what I love about his comedy so much.
Yeah, the good thing with Jim Carrey is, because obviously, I mean, I wasn't a child when he was making these movies, but I was still quite young. So when you think about it, he's been in a lot of films that, while they have some adult stuff in them, you could get away with watching it as a kid and not get it, because he appeals to kids too, just with his ridiculous humor. Yeah. I mean, I'm just getting flashes of all little stupid
his
moments
faces,
that
his...
always made me laugh. Like, the first bit that always comes to mind, and it's not even from one of my favorites, is Ace Ventura 2, where his finger comes out the arse of the fake rhino.
Oh my God,
I
don't.
Mean, that
That's
bit
like
just
the
alone,
best scene.
It just kills me.
That is the best scene.
I don't know why my brain immediately just flashes to that when the moment I think of Jim Carrey.
God, where he's dying in that rhino. Oh my God. It's hilarious. But I couldn't even tell you what the first film I watched with him in was. Obviously, I mean, it probably depends on which one came out first, and I haven't actually looked at the date.
Ace Ventura was first.
Then maybe it was Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Because it was either that, The Mask, or Liar Liar. That was like the first I'd watched. But if Ace Ventura came out first, that was probably the first one that I saw.
Maybe it was, I didn't write the year, but yeah, that was his first big release on his own,
Which was with the same director. I can't pronounce his surname. Is it Tom Shadyac?
Yeah, I think it's Shadyac.
He's done Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He's done The Nutty Professor, Patch Adams, Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty. So he's done quite a lot of classics.
Yeah, the producer was also someone who produced The Nutty Professor, which isn't linked to Jim Carrey, but seeing as that was a big hit for the director, I thought I'd mention it.
Yeah.
The editor, Don Zimmerman, also worked on Patch Adams, Ace Ventura, The Nutty Professor. And he's also worked on Galaxy Quest and the latest Bill and Ted movie.
It's kind of like they were all running in the same circles.
Yeah, and it's quite cool that they wanted to work together again. Even the composer has actually worked on Bruce Almighty out of all the Ben Stiller.
Oh.
Why do I keep calling him Ben Stiller in my head? Jim Carrey films. Why is Ben Stiller coming into my mind?
I mean, another classic comedy actor.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like, why? No, it's not you. We'll talk about you another time.
Save it for another episode.
I know. Maybe we'll do Zoolander one day. Who knows? I did want to, because we were still kind of talking a bit about Jim Carrey. For anyone who hasn't seen any of his older stuff that people don't usually talk about, he's been in loads of things. But the two things that I had seen him in, I think a little after he became a bit more famous, but he still probably was at the start of his career, was a movie called Earth Girls Are Easy, which was just before I think he joined in Living Colour, but it's starring Damon Wayans, who he worked with in Living Colour, along with Jeff Goldblum.
What? Good old Jeff.
They're playing three aliens. I don't know where from, and their ship crashes into the pool of Gina Davis.
You can't see my face right now. I'm like, WTF?
You need to find this. I don't know.
I need to watch this.
I don't know if it's available anywhere. Like, I only saw it because my brother owned it back in the day. But Earth Girls Are Easy. It is ridiculous. It's like kind of like a musical, kind of like a comedy.
I feel like I've heard the name, but maybe you've mentioned it before.
Maybe,
and I've just forgotten
maybe.
About
and
it.
Jim Carrey probably doesn't, because they're aliens, so they don't really speak proper English, so it's just a lot of weird noises. But,
which Jim's classic.
Oh, yeah, and he was, my memory of him in this movie is there's a scene, because they come as, like, weird furry aliens, but then Gina Davis's best friend gives them a makeover, and now they look like men. I don't know how that works, but, yeah, does she shave them? I don't know. And they go to a nightclub, and there's a scene where, because they're aliens, Jim's character has a big, long cocktail glass, and there's ice.
I'm glad you finished the sentence.
Well, he might have the other thing too, but
a big long cocktail glass.
Oh God! Sorry, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't even see it coming.
That's what she said. Anyway, but yeah, he's there's ice at the bottom of it, and he sticks his tongue in to get it, and his tongue is extra long because he's an alien.
This is getting worse.
I know. Sorry, if you've just kind of been skipping over the podcast, you're going, what are they talking about? But there's like three girls that all see him do this, and they're like, I'm going home with him. It's just like,
oh,
so
God.
Stupid. But it's a great movie, and I definitely recommend people look for it, because I don't
it's
know why
Netflix
it's not such a big deal.
Have this.
I know, like, I mean, Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, Jim Carrey, and Damon Wayans.
That's
I mean,
great,
why wouldn't you want to watch this movie? But yeah, and there's another movie where he's playing it's like a teen vampire movie. And the only reason I mention it is called Once Bitten.
Oh, Once Bitten.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh,
I love that
so
film.
Good. It's so stupid. But
I own it.
If you can't be bothered to find the movie, there's one scene. Just look for it on YouTube. It's a dance off between him and the vamp lady and his girlfriend. And it is brilliant. It is just ridiculous, but it's so good. Like, it's my favorite scene.
I don't think I've seen that film in like 10 years. I need
really?
To see that again.
Definitely. Or just like, seriously, just find the clip. I'm sure. If you write Once Bitten dance scene on YouTube,
it'll be there.
In fact, stop this, go watch it, and then come back and listen to the rest of our podcast.
Yeah, I think I watched that for the first time when I was in either sixth form or uni.
Okay.
And it was probably because one of our cousins had mentioned it, and he was like, you're going to really enjoy this. So I bought it and I watched it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, because I think it's like from 1985 or something. So
yeah,
it's
like, it's one of, was it his first actual movie?
I don't think it's his first, but among his first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a child.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's playing a teenager, so like, probably playing an 18-year-old, but he must have been a little bit older than that by then. But
I would assume, yeah, early
20s. Maybe, yeah, early 20s. But yeah, definitely worth it. I mean, he's still being his silly self. Obviously, he's a bit more normal.
Yeah.
But he's still like, you know, funny lines, still the same little goofy smile. It's just, yeah, it's worth it for
him. And the thing is, we've seen him do normal films or serious films as well. And I remember when I first saw it, it amazed me just because this was a guy that I'd seen be a goofball for years.
Yeah.
And it's just credit to how good of an actor he actually is.
And definitely. I mean, people just think of him as the guy who just pulls the faces and makes the noises, but he's definitely got a lot more going than that. Even in this movie, like, it is probably at the time, it was his first sort of normal role.
Yeah.
Before then, he's
like
always played weird people.
Comedy,
like,
almost.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, The Mask, I guess his character wasn't too mental, but he spends most of it with a green face, so you know. But yeah, and Dumb and Dumber, I mean, oh my God, we don't even get started on that character. So yeah, this was, I think, his first proper, like, normal successful man who's just a little bit funny.
And fun fact, he wasn't always meant to be a lawyer. I don't know if you read that. I had a look at some notes and stuff, so they were toying with the idea of him being a real estate agent or something.
I don't know how that would.
I don't know how it would work now.
Yeah,
when
would
you just
lie
it?
About houses?
I don't know.
No one was murdered here. But yeah, I'm glad they changed it. And it works. I mean, I love the fact that the title in itself is something quite childish, isn't it? Because, you know, you go, liar, liar, pants on fire. So yeah, it's really clever.
And I did actually, because I wrote down loads of quotes, but he basically starts lying from the get-go. As the film starts, where he goes, I ran out of gas.
Oh, his excuses already, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know when he goes to the homeless man, oh, I'm all out. This is just natural lies we all do, but it's from the get-go. They're all, like, I think it's smart writing just to have it put in there. like the white lies, I guess.
But before you've even met him, obviously, his kid knows him to be a liar professionally.
Yeah.
But I thought that was...
Oh, you mean a lawyer.
But I, you know, it made me think, like, obviously this kid knows what a lie is because he makes the wish. So what did he think? I mean, he knew what his dad's job was because he describes the job. So did he just think that that's what they did in court?
That they just lie.
Interesting.
But he was, I mean, yeah, he was a lawyer for the guilty people, wasn't he?
But I did want to say, I did find out, because I didn't notice this myself, but in the opening scene, which you were talking about, there's a cameo from a well-known lawyer who was in the O.J. Simpson case, the prosecutor.
I heard about this ages ago, but it's something that I completely forgot.
Chris Darden. But I thought that was really clever that they actually used somebody who's an actual lawyer there. I mean, I would never have noticed it myself because I don't know what that guy looks like, but yeah.
I think I might be wrong, but either one of the editors or one of the producers of this film has also got a background in attorney.
Yeah, I did read that.
You obviously kind of need someone that knows it. Otherwise, yeah. You're just going to watch it and go, this is a pile of crap.
Exactly. And I'm sure there's some stuff that's obviously not accurate.
There is, actually. I'll bring that up. But I think for the majority, it is pretty accurate.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Well, because the whole scene with, spoiler alert, but the scene with how he does win the massive case, they did a lot of research into seeing if that was an actual loophole. And it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is, yeah. They had to make sure that that was real and that could happen and he could win like that.
Well, at least back then. I mean, obviously, we don't know if the law has changed since. This was 97. But yeah, it's an interesting film because it does make you think about this kind of stuff. Like, you know, the fact that, you know, in the end, he used honesty and won this case.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he didn't have to lie to win it. And it's still... It didn't make him happy because he just took away children from some really lovely good father.
His conscience ate away at him at the end.
He managed to actually win this case without having to utter a single lie. Sorry, I'm just getting flashbacks to little things that he did in the courtroom. Yeah. But that ending always kind of makes me... I mean, we're skipping to the end, but guys, you've probably seen this, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, that always makes me a little bit sad and it kind of... Yeah, I know you haven't seen it, but it reminds me a little bit of Mrs. Doubtfire, where there's a scene. Oh, I mean, it's not giving away anything.
Can you hear the shocked noises of our listeners? Because I haven't seen Mrs. Doubtfire.
I did hear some gasps. I thought it was just me. But there's a scene where he kind of loses the right to his kids. And it's really like heartbreaking. So... Yeah, this kind of reminded me of that. And that probably came out, well, a few years before this, but it felt very similar in tone, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of moments that even back then watching this, it kind of hit me hard. Yeah. But I think when you understand it a lot more.
Yeah.
And the realization of he was a bad dad. But he wasn't a bad, bad dad. Do you know what I mean? Like, he didn't do anything intentionally. He just didn't realise how much he was hurting his son by not being there.
He prioritised his career over his family.
Which millions of fathers do. And, or millions of parents do.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, his wife says, what ex-wife says in the movie, she says, because he calls himself a terrible father, doesn't he? Or a bad father.
Yeah.
And because he's telling the truth, so it comes out. I don't think he was expecting that to come out of his mouth at that moment. But she says, you're not when you show up. And you can see it, like his scenes with his son, they made me so happy. Like, can you imagine being that kid and having that amazing dad that's giving you all that kind of attention and making you laugh? And I mean, it's just lovely. But it was weird because I think as a kid a teenager when I watched this, I probably looked at it a little bit more from just an adult point of view and never really thought about it. But when I watched it yesterday, but I watched it more from Max's perspective. Which is weird because I'm nowhere near that age. But it made me think of how sad he must have been to have, like, that scene at the beginning where he thinks he's going to go and see wrestling with his dad. And how many times his dad has probably disappointed him. And then there he is yet again, completely forgetting the fact that he has this kid and takes a case on.
Yeah, because he really wants to make partner.
I know.
Like, and it couldn't wait.
And that birthday party.
That birthday party crushes me. every time.
Yeah. Like, I'm getting emotional thinking about it.
Yeah. Like, I always watched it from Max's perspective. And although, like, my dad was never away like he was.
Yeah.
And he wasn't occupied by work. He was occupied by hobbies, as you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I kind of related to Max in certain scenarios and be like, oh, well, this is what I wanted to do, but I missed out because I didn't get to see you until it was like just before bedtime.
Yeah.
And I don't think he even to this day realizes how much that affected me. Like, I do genuinely feel like he missed out on a lot of stuff that happened in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame.
So I can understand. I can somewhat relate to Max, and that's even worse because he's not living with his dad. You know, this is your moment with your dad, then should be sacred.
Like, weekends he cherishes with his dad, and his dad is just picking work over it, which is fine. I understand.
Oh, Miranda.
Like,
oh, that really annoyed me.
That annoyed me too. I'm just like, just slap the cow. I know she's his boss, but come on. That's just inappropriate. That would not fly now. Probably didn't even fly then, but it definitely wouldn't fly now.
I know. Oh my god, she was so annoying. But I have to say, even rewatching it, I wanted her wardrobe. I don't know why. I really
I didn't even look at her wardrobe. I just hate her so much.
I just wanted her baggy suits. I was like, oh, you're making it work.
I saw her on a, this is completely unrelated to Lila, but I saw her on, it was during the Oscars, and they had her on like a discussing the Oscars back in 97, actually, around the time of this movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think Up for Nomination was like As Good as It Gets and Titanic and all of this. And she kept trying to be edgy with her dislike of every movie. Like, oh, As Good as It Gets, I didn't quite get it. And I was like, oh, she's English, by the way, if no one knows. And I was just like, oh, piss off. So that just completely makes me hate her in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I can't recall ever seeing her in anything else. Her name's Amanda.
Amanda.
Oh my God, Amanda.
Amanda calling.
Oh my God.
Hey, Amanda Donahoe, yeah.
Yeah, Amanda Donahoe. She has been in L.A. Law, The Lair of the White Worm, The Madness of King George. I haven't seen any of them, if I'm being honest.
She first actually apparently appeared in two Adam and the Ants music videos back in the 80s.
Which ones?
I only wrote down one because I had only heard of one. Stand and Deliver. She's in that music video. And yeah, like you said, she was in L.A. Law. She's been in Bad Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Dale. For a while. And most recently, Toast of London.
Okay, I've seen all of Toast of London and I don't remember her.
Well, apparently she's in it. I don't know.
I might as well say it now. We mentioned Cary Elwes.
Yeah, we're just going to call him that. I'm sorry, Cary, if you ever bother to listen to this.
I did not realise he was the mayor in Stranger Things.
You didn't? Oh
my
God.
So when I saw it on his IMDb, I just went, wait, what?
But you knew him from like Princess Bride and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, I didn't realise he was the mayor. I think just because I've still got the secret cinema version in my
mayor.
Head that I just see him.
But yeah, I mean, people have got to know Cary Elwes. He's been in so many things, but yeah.
So much.
Yeah, Princess Bride was, I think, probably his first big one. And that's probably what most people may recognise him from. But he's been in, like, apparently Days of Thunder, which I haven't seen. Hot Shots. Remember that? Robin Hood Men in Tights, which I used to love. Oh, God, it's awful. He's been in Twister, which I'd forgotten about. He's been in a lot of stuff. And upcoming Mission Impossible 7, apparently, he's in as well.
Hayley Atwell, Pom Clementeef. It's going to be a great cast.
Well, yeah, it's a shame about the actual film and the fact that Tom Cruise is in it. But yeah, I haven't seen any but one.
I haven't seen, like, the last two or three.
Should we do those questions? You said you had some.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't write down questions, but I thought it was some themes that maybe we could establish.
Okay.
And I wanted to get your take on possibly female representation in this film.
God, you're starting really heavy.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to start away with it because it kind of leads in with, I want to go into how much would you think they could get away with today? Not necessarily just on that, but on other jokes that are said. But I started off with that because my favourite scene in this film is him getting into the lift with this lady's big jugs.
And
he wants to squeeze them. And he does the whole mama.
Oh, that is, yeah. I've watched it countless times and I still laugh my head off at mama.
Yeah.
Like, it's his face.
My mum knew this wasn't suitable, but we used to quote that to each other all the time because she found the scene hilarious just as much as I did. Even so, what I love about this film as well, in the credits, we see all the bloopers.
Yeah.
And they're having so much fun, like those two. I thought, oh, are we going to see maybe like someone being uncomfortable? You just don't know. She didn't look uncomfortable.
Well, I don't think she would be uncomfortable.
Because... No, I mean, she knew the role that she was playing, but you just don't know, do you?
It's played by someone called Krista Allen, right? Who made her career in Emmanuel movies from the 90s, which is softcore porn, basically.
Yeah.
So she's done a lot of that. And she's been in Baywatch as well. So,
of course she has.
And she was also in an episode of Friends, by the way.
Who?
She was the one in season 8 when Joey goes out on a date with somebody and he says, I think it's the time when he kind of falls for Rachel and he asks her, do you ever start to see somebody differently?
Yes.
And she says something like, oh, I saw this person. I thought it was someone normal and it turned out to be, who was it? Orlando Bloom? Who did she say?
Yeah, something like that.
I can't remember who she said, but yeah. So it was her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. But that is my favorite scene. We have to say, like, this is stuff that probably wouldn't fly now. Someone will have something to say about it.
I don't know. Would they? I mean, at the end of the day, the whole scene is done to show that he's being inappropriate. And that is his personalized opinion that he would never have actually said out loud. And he does get like punched in the face for saying it or slapped in the face. So he does get punished for it. It's not used in a way to go, oh, that's fine. You should talk to women that way. So I didn't necessarily get negative vibes from it.
Okay, so not necessarily in that scene. And I'm sure, again, you know people online. I don't want to say they're offended too easily, but sometimes I feel like people are just jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. And because it's something that you can be offended by, you're just going to say you're offended by.
Yeah.
So the other bit where he goes in and he's roasting all the lawyers, and then he just turns to Miranda and is like, slut!
Yeah.
Find it absolutely hilarious.
It is hilarious.
I think that, again, could be like, well, you don't call a guy... It's that term where if a guy sleeps around, it's a completely different...
Yeah, I suppose. But at the same time, it's hard to say in this film because we don't know what he would have called a guy who might be known for that. Like, the reason he called her a slut is obviously because they just slept together.
Yeah.
And she probably does that with quite a lot of people.
And he's had better.
Yes. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, but he's stating a fact.
I think it's just because it's a derogatory term that there isn't actually one for a male anyway.
Yeah, I suppose.
But yeah, I just wanted to see where you stood on it because obviously this is how I feel. Most of the time we're similar, but
I'm
not
the wrong person to ask because I don't think like the people nowadays who get outraged by everything. So,
well, maybe someone that's listening is someone who
maybe
would be outraged
if
by
someone
this.
Has found any problems with him calling. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it was just. I mean, this film is an interesting one because I mean, there's other female representations that I'm sure you're going to go into, but as far as stuff that Fletcher has said about women. That's his opinion. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think of it as they're not representing those women that way. Well, I mean, Miranda speaks for herself. But like, it's his opinion about them. The girl in the elevator may have been a perfectly nice person, but she did have big boobs. And he mentioned it. But that was his own opinion. It wasn't saying this is the way this girl
and,
is.
And, you know, that was the way the characters were written.
Yeah. I mean, Fletcher's not known for being... Not like, he's not a horrible person, but... His thoughts. I mean, I don't even know what would happen to me if I couldn't lie. I can't judge him.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. I mean, Jennifer Tilly's another one. Samantha Cole dresses very sexually as well.
She's basically the one to talk about, I think, in this movie because she's who she is. We don't hear his opinion on her. We see her. And it's the way they've decided to write this character. So I guess there are women like that, though.
Again... When he says 105 or whatever her weight was, he goes, yeah,
in your bra.
I love Jennifer Tilly, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we can talk all about her too. But I mean, people, if you haven't seen her in anything or you don't think you've seen her in anything, you've definitely heard her voice.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been in, what, Monsters, Inc. And...
That was the one for me. I knew that voice. I was like, it's her. It's her from Liar Liar.
And also she's been in Family Guy. I don't know if her character still is, but she was... Bonnie, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, she's been in Chucky movies, so as a person and as a doll.
She's very well known for Bride of Chucky.
Yes. And she's just done loads. And she's always quite a sexual... I think her voice is just very sexual. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, even in Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you hear her voice and immediately it's just her. She could do, like, phone sex lines or something.
She really could.
But
I love her voice.
Oh, me too. Even though, like, I'm sure she's...
It's just so different.
Yeah, like, maybe in high school, you know, she was bullied for this voice. Who knows? But now she's made a career out of it.
Exactly.
It's hard to talk about her because they've written this character that's meant to just be a really, like, gold-digging, you know... And those women do exist. I don't know if they exist quite in such an obvious way as she does with everything. Like, how would she ever be able to pretend that she was, like, a faithful wife? I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know what you're saying about her represent. I don't know how to talk about it, though, because
I guess
for an hour and a half story, they really needed to show that this woman was very unsuitable to be raising kids. And she's meant to be a villainous character. Do you know what I mean?
A gold digger.
Yeah, she's meant to be the bad person that's so clearly bad that Flesh has taken on this case and she's clearly meant to be a character you're not supposed to want to win.
Yeah. I mean, this is going away from the whole female thing, but I was going to say, you don't actually realise just how bad, or I didn't realise just how bad she was until the very end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I guess that was the twist. I'm saying that in quote marks, but... Because, you know, up until then, he's only thinking about the money situation. And then it turns into this whole other case that's going to open up because now she just wants sole custody of the kids and purely to get more money.
10 grand a month.
And to hurt him.
And she already got like 11, whatever. 11.
Yeah, she got like
million.
Half or something of everything.
And I did write the quote. And she just screamed, "They're mine. Don't you have some checks to write? You haven't paid for them yet."
Yeah.
And it really, really, like, it hit a nerve, even though I couldn't relate at all. But she was a horrible, vile human being.
Because, again, I was watching this scene again through the kids' eyes because they're there witnessing this court with the nanny, right? And with this mum that's just acting like they're baggage to carry and is using them as weapons to hurt this man who they clearly love a lot more.
She said he was a good father.
Yeah. And she's like, so?
How much of this film do you think... We are going to go a bit more lighthearted, guys. Just thought, let's get this out of the way. I mean, we're just going to quote it, let's be honest. But how much do you think that they would get away with what they did in this film now, just on any of the other themes? And I say this because another quote, again, it was during the roast. And
okay.
I love it, but I don't know whether you can get away with it now. Here goes Simmons's wife. You've seen her at the Christmas party. She's the one that gets plastered and calls him a retard. And they're all just like... And I found that hilarious, but you're like, Shiza, can they actually say this
anymore?
Yeah,
they probably wouldn't be able to now.
They didn't cut it out of the Netflix version. Obviously, on TV, they probably have cut that out. They've cut out a lot.
I have no idea. I've never seen it on television.
Some. Because one of my... Again, sorry, I'm going to quote. What I'm going to do is piss him on like an impotent jerk and take it up the tailpipe.
Yeah.
They've cut that out on the actual TV version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've edited it. He says take it up or something. Like, something different. They've changed it.
But that's fair. I guess that... I don't know. I mean, yeah, obviously, I guess some stuff, like insults, would be changed because people, I don't know.
I genuinely don't know whether, and I hope we haven't offended anyone because we're just quoting it, but I don't know whether you can get away with saying retard anymore.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually. Yeah, maybe they would have changed that word. I don't know if you can get away with saying that anymore, but it's a hard one with this because I'm always aware of the fact that it's one man's opinion when he's being honest without meaning to be honest. So it's hard, but yeah, I guess if it was the script, they probably wouldn't have put something like that in. They would have just called him a dick or something.
Yeah. And another one.
Okay.
Because I mean, again, it's just like, oh well.
Is it from the roast again?
No. It's when I called her Hellraiser girl because I can't remember what her name was.
I looked her up, actually, because I was like, do we even know this woman? Her name is Jane in the movie, by the way.
Okay.
She's played by Sherry Ottery, which sounded familiar to me. She's probably most known internationally as Gail Hellstorm in Scary Movie.
Oh.
Yeah. And
I've only ever seen Scary Movie like once or twice. All right.
But she's basically
remember.
Like the Courtney Cox character.
Yeah.
And she's also probably most been in SNL for years. So she's a comedian.
Well, yeah. When she goes, "Hey, Mystery, do you like the new dress?" And he goes, "Whatever takes the focus off your head." And then it goes, I can't remember the other guy's name, but it goes, "What's up, Fletcher?" And he goes, "Your cholesterol, fatty." Like, I love that type of comedy, and maybe it's because I grew up on it, so I joke about this stuff with you or with other members of family, someone I know really, really well. I know that this isn't stuff that you can just say. But I also know that this is probably offending a hell of a lot of people, and I literally get torn in the middle, because I especially love dark comedy as well. I find those jokes funny.
Again, I'm struggling with this because because I think in general, if this line, I mean, obviously someone else might think differently, or if you gave it to a screenwriter now and told them, "Oh, you have to update it," I don't know what they would do. But in my opinion, I'm thinking, but this is somebody's, like, this is a disability for Fletcher today. Like, whatever he's thinking in his head is coming right out. And at that moment, you would. It's not like he would have intentionally gone up to someone and called them a fatty, because he usually lies and says, "Oh, you've lost weight," or whatever. So it shows that he's actually a nice person to people and doesn't want to offend them. So I feel like taking that out would be wrong in this context, because if the joke had been something else earlier in the movie where he said something about his hair, then you change it again to another joke about his hair. But the fact is, they've made that whole runner where he's walking down the corridor and the same people come up to him, you know.
Again, great writing that they've just recreated.
Exactly.
That scene.
So now, instead of all the nice little white lies to not offend people, or, you know, white heads.
Smart. Applaud.
You know, he's going to say the exact opposite. So what else would you have said in that scene? I guess he could have just said your cholesterol and that's it. But it's to be, I mean, maybe Jim Carrey added on fatty. We don't even know.
Maybe he did, but it was great.
It was
great.
I love it. I mean, it would have been funny enough just saying your cholesterol, but I'm going to say it could have even been an ad lib by Jim Carrey. Who knows?
That fatty line made it for me. And I feel so bad if someone is offended by it. But for me, it made it.
But he
and
was
I've
meant
struggled
to.
With my weight. You've struggled with your weight. So like, I don't want to be like, we're not feastic thin people that are just like, you know.
But the thing is, I think in that scene, he's meant to be offending those people. You see their faces, they look hurt because he's never, ever talked to them that way. So I think that was the point. He's meant to be hurting.
Especially the guy who doesn't remember his name.
You're not important enough to remember. But see, so for me, I think, in other contexts, maybe that shouldn't have been there. And it didn't need to be in there, sure. But this was 97. And for all I know, it was an ad lib. Who knows? It doesn't offend me because I feel like that was the whole point of that scene. He's meant to be hurting people's feelings. While it's great that he's no longer allowed to lie for this day, it goes to show you how lies can be good things, like he tries to explain to his kid, you know? Because, lies are horrible. They're not good when you associate it with hurting people's feelings. But sometimes you have to say it, because if you said what you really thought, you'd be hurting loads of people. And so I thought that was important to show both sides.
Yeah, that was a great chat with his son when he's trying to get him to do the unwish. But I can understand why Max would struggle to believe him.
Yeah, of course.
But then he says that thing where it's like when Max's mum gained so much weight when she was pregnant with him, you know, he's like, "I couldn't hurt her feelings by saying that she looked like a cow."
Exactly.
I'm sure a lot of men have been in that same position.
Exactly.
You're glowing.
But that's the thing. So I think it's important to show both sides of it, that, it is hilarious that he's telling the truth. But you also have to see that sometimes lies are actually necessary, especially when people are asking you stuff like that.
And exactly.
So
like
asking
putting
you
onto the spot.
You know, like when he's walking back down the corridor later and going, "La la 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 la." He's like, "I don't want to hurt anyone else's feelings."
And one more quote on this point is, again, one of my favourite lines. And I used to say this a lot.
Okay.
And it was when Max says to him, "My teacher tells me real beauty is on the inside." And he goes, "That's just something ugly people say."
I said it along with him in the movie.
I think I've said it to you before. It is
one
of those quotes
that I love.
Oh, yeah,
we just say it all the time. I don't know. It's a joke, isn't it? I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, I mean, because... I'm glad you see it the same as me. But there are some topics that you would disagree with me on, like if we go back to when we said, "Oh, you hit like a girl," or you know, yeah, that thing.
I guess so. That's modern day. I expect differently. But yeah, I don't know. I think you know it's meant to be a joke, and it's a funny line, but in a way, it's true.
Oh God. Meow.
I mean, no, it's a comedy and it's meant, you know, I don't know. It's hard to explain. If it was a serious movie, I might think, oh, they shouldn't have said that because they're telling you something and that's not how. But this is just his opinion. It's just Fletcher's opinion. And it's, I don't know, it's funny. I mean,
not that I ever did this because I didn't. But that's not to say so many others didn't. But there's a reason why the film is also, I think it was a 12.
I think so, yeah.
And it's because it can influence kids into doing stuff or saying stuff.
Did it make you think?
I never said anything like that when I was a kid. Apart from quoting the film, I didn't say anything or act in such way. But
you're exactly prime example, though. You were a child when you watched this, and if it didn't influence you to think a certain way, then I don't think it would do that to kids. I don't think it's I don't think it's trying to educate them.
but then you've got like the whole stabbings and stuff that happen, and it's so easy to go, they're influenced by video games and Grand Theft Auto or Call
of
Duty.
But that's different. If you're basing it on, we're going to a whole different area, but like...
It is, but it's like, how much influence does it have over a kid?
If you're going into video games, for example, you're actively getting someone to press a button that kills somebody or shoots somebody. So I can see how that might influence someone who's ready to be influenced in that kind of way, because you're actively doing it. You're telling someone to do it. But in Liar Liar, you're just observing a comedy about a guy that usually lies and now can't.
I don't know. I don't know whether some kids would have watched it and thought it's okay to say some of those lines. I mean, okay, well, they might have called someone a retard. You don't know that.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure they've called someone a retard for many reasons because back then everyone was calling everyone a retard.
I remember that time. I was called one.
Without even knowing what retard means, we've said retard. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this film does have a good message at the end.
It does.
So I feel like that counterbalances everything that he would have said beforehand.
The one thing that I realise watching this and rewatching some other films that I may have seen as a kid is I got away with a lot that I watched, and it's probably because I hung around with our cousins.
Yeah.
Whether my parents knew about it or not. But sometimes even with my parents, I did watch films that weren't suitable for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now like when I'm at work and one of the people at work, she's like, oh, my son put on Disney and started watching Simpsons. And there was some stuff that was not suitable for kids. I'm like, really? That was like my daytime TV.
However, we have the luxury. I mean, obviously your dad's English is good, but he's not, well, he wasn't home. But like we had the luxury of having parents that didn't understand any of it. So they just went, it's a cartoon, it's fine. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because like someone else would go, oh, do you think this Marvel film or this DC film is suitable for my 8-year-old? And I'd be like, yeah. But then I think, oh, well, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, it's 12A, so it means you got to be with an adult. Yeah. That's what they advise. But it also depends on your kid. I think you know your kid better than anyone else.
I mean, I watched horror films as a kid. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they somehow did scar me. But
stop
just because...
bubble wrapping your kids.
But I don't know. It's so hard. Because now, like you said, we're older, so we could be around a kid and go, you can't watch that. You're too young. Yeah. But we watched it. Yeah. I don't know.
I like to think it didn't do me any harm. But
I think all it did was just make me regret watching it at the time because I'd be too scared to, like, I don't know, go somewhere if the lights were off. Like, all lights on now. But I don't know. I think, yeah, it does depend on the kid.
Obviously, I watched it when I shouldn't have watched it.
Yeah.
So it just depends how much influence these films could have on kids.
Yeah. I think if there's a good message in the film, I don't think there's harm in it, to be honest. If at the end of the day you learned that lying is bad, did you?
Yeah. Then probably.
It did its
job. I used to lie quite... I mean, I told a lot of white lies as a kid.
Yeah, I think everybody does, though. You know, I didn't eat the cookie or whatever. I don't know. Maybe bigger lies than that, but that's the first thing that came to mind. That's a white lie.
But yeah, any comments from you on this film?
Let me look at my notes because most of them are just quotes. Well, the first quote that I've got written, how much ass do I have to kiss to make partner in this damn place?
Oh, I'm glad you wrote that because I didn't. But yeah, I'm glad you wrote that.
Okay, the other, because I'll say some of the quotes I wrote and it might trigger a thing you might want to say because I can't think of.
Okay.
The next quote I wrote was the birthday bumps and he struck a child. Did you see that?
Yes. I love it because that's when he goes afterwards, Jerry, enjoy my wife.
Yeah, I didn't even write that one, but I liked him. Great gift, Dad. Thanks, son.
I did love the way that Jim and Carrie also.
Jim and Carrie.
So Jim and Carrie.
It is.
But yeah, that they bounced off each other.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
They're not similar actors.
Carrie's character was very Ned Flanders-esque. Or Magoo.
It was. It was Magoo. Oh my God, his version of the claw.
It's the finger. I think that's why I wrote my notes. Yeah. More like the finger.
Apparently people still do that to him.
Yeah, and apparently Jim Carrey added the whole claw thing because his dad used to do that to him.
That's amazing. So I used to try and get my dad to do that to me.
It doesn't work if you have to make someone.
I know. I wanted him to recreate it. It wasn't the same.
Well, because they used this twice. One where Fletcher is trying to get Samantha on board with his case. He says all this stuff about how she's the victim and how she, you know, he pushed her into the arms of another man. And she says seven. He goes, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And she does that later because yes. He's like, I can't lie.
And after watching it again, now that you hear seven, do you still hear Monica?
I do hear Monica always.
Yeah. Just the number seven. Like, it's Monica.
And the big quote, because it cracks me up, and as a kid, I don't think I ever really listened to it properly, is his whole sale pitch for his case, which maybe you wrote down too. He's like, this is about all women. It's Gerard.
Yes.
Where would Tina... How he says it, though. Where would Tina Turner be right now if she'd rolled over and said, hit me again, I could put some steak on it.
Rolling in the river, that's what. And I had the other quote, wake up, sisters, there's no such thing as the weaker sex.
How did they not laugh? Like, I mean,
I hope
I would have ruined that take if he did every it, time.
If he did it in one, he must have not done it in one go.
No, because I'm sure
Jennifer would have probably bursted out laughing.
I'm assuming that in the script it said it, but it didn't say say it like you're a preacher.
No, it's the way, it's his movement while delivering the line. I even wrote the quote down with so many O's.
Me too. For where's my camera? Where is it? Like, here's mine.
Yeah. It's the red line. And obviously, the classic that I think everyone said, the goddamn pair is blue. I love the moment where he's like fighting his hand and you've got his hand doing like this worm thing.
Oh yeah, it's very
thing.
Like Evil Dead 2 with the hand.
And he's always like, write it off, break it off. And then the pen turns and looks at him and he does that face. It's like,
the idea that he does that, and obviously he's doing it, but you really believe at that moment that his arm and him are separate.
Yeah, I think this is why I loved it so much as a kid, was because of those moments.
But yeah, and
the
you
faces
said,
in the courtroom, blah 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 blah.
Oh,
blah,
don't
blah.
Don't even get there, because that bit, I think I cried a lot. Like, I've seen the film how many times, but when you're watching it to make notes as well, like that whole first I'm gonna try and lie bit where he's like, the case is this. Yeah. You just can't get it out, and he really tries for like what, 5-10 minutes. But the shablablabla of it, I was dead. I was
have
dead.
You seen the remix of Eminem?
And no.
I have to send that to you.
Oh my God, that bit. Seriously, that bit had me crying. And obviously we've seen from the outtakes that clearly they did laugh. And,
yeah.
And obviously God knows how many different versions of that he even did, and that's the one they went with.
I know, because it just seems like he was ad-libbing his way.
And that bit where, you know, he puts his hands on his mouth. Yeah. It must have been so difficult, you know, for that over-the-shoulder shot of the prosecutor who's just looking confused, I would have been crying. Like, I would have been like, you're going to have to film this separately and just edit it in, because there's no way I'd be able to act opposite that. There's no way.
The other bit in the courtroom that I absolutely love and I know my mum loves is...
It's not the Wolverine hair, is it?
She loves that. Not that bit. The bit where he starts imitating the turkey. And he's like, oh my God! Yeah. And he goes, you stuffed her like a Thanksgiving turkey! So I didn't obviously know what that meant as a kid. Now watching it, I'm like, now I understand. But as a kid, Mum and I were just laughing at his turkey impression.
Oh, God. I'd forgotten about all of that because, you know, we've watched it, but how many jokes are in this movie? Yeah. That bit when he said it and then started doing the...
Bad baby, bad baby.
I've written down bad baby. I liked, I'm going to swear here, but I think it really makes me laugh. He says something bad about himself, but
yeah,
it's... Like, he's surprised at how true it is. He goes, I'm such a shit. But I really love how... Because he really looks like, huh? It's like, yeah. Like, he thought that would be true.
Yeah. And, if we're going semi-serious here, the bit where he actually says he wants to hang around with his son, and he, like, puts the phone to the side and goes, how about that? I really do.
Yeah. I guess because he's so used to, like, lying.
Yeah.
Even if he does mean it, he doesn't know when he's meaning it or he isn't, because he's just a, I guess in a weird way, he's a people pleaser, I suppose. But that was true. And I guess he was surprised by the fact that that came out and it wasn't something he couldn't say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a couple more that were favourites between my mum and myself. And it is the, owie! And then he starts beating himself up in the men's bathroom. And the guy comes in and is like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm kicking my ass. Do you mind?
Absolutely loved it.
The bit that I still quote now, when it has nothing to do with anything, is the first time they're in the court and they get everyone to stand and they go, the Honourable Judge, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, Honourable, pfft. All right, yeah. I do that. If I'm watching anything where there's a court case and someone says honourable, I go honourable.
You do. You totally do. And the the other one that is Greta. I love Greta. And when she goes, here's your raise.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do that. And I think it was the only time where I could get away with giving my middle finger because my mum knew that I was quoting. But then, yeah, I used to turn around and be like, I'd have got him 10. Oh, yeah. The thing is, so I read that that's not actually doable. Like, that couldn't have happened. So that whole scenario could not have happened.
Oh, I thought, I heard, but I didn't read into it too much, that it was based on something that had actually happened.
Oh, maybe we need to fact check that, because the one that I read said that it couldn't happen. But I was going to say, having said that, I remember quite a few years ago, obviously English law and US law is completely different. I remember a burglar breaking into a farmer's house and a farmer shot him. And it was quite a massive case over here. And they were trying to find the farmer guilty, but he's like, I shot a man on my property.
Yeah. Yeah, so... no, I think, I swear, like, maybe now you couldn't do that.
Maybe.
But I feel like I read something about how that whole bit was about a case that had existed before in the past.
Okay.
Whether they got away with this, like, suing or not, I don't know. Yeah. But it was something that was brought to trial anyway, or whatever.
Here she comes to wreck the day.
Yeah, which is a Mighty Mouse.
Yes.
One of my favourite bits that made me laugh more than I've seen this how many times, but for some reason it really made me laugh, and I thought it was quite an important moment, because it's a scene where after he's seen his son and to tell him about the lie, and, you know, his son says to him, you're the only one that makes me feel bad when you lie. And he's kind of a bit, like, down about it, because I think he's learning some truths now about who he is. And he goes back to his office, and I think this is before Greta quits, and she's, like, on the phone, and she tells him that someone who's once again, you know, done something bad needs him to represent them again. And he goes up to the phone and he just shouts. He doesn't even hold it to his ear. He just shouts into it, stop breaking the law, asshole! Yeah. And it's really funny, but I love the fact that that's where his mind was. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's so
yeah,
done.
He's had enough.
Yeah, he's done with all these people.
Yeah.
Because it's Jim Carrey. Like, I don't know how anyone else would have delivered this line. Because obviously this movie wasn't written for Jim Carrey. You can tell that it could have easily... And I think they originally had, like, Robin Williams
who
and
turned
Steve
it down.
Martin.
Yeah.
No, so, you know, can you imagine if someone else had said that? Yeah, it may have been funny, but it wouldn't have been Jim Carrey funny.
Yeah.
And the fact that he probably decided to hold the phone away and shout into it with that big mouth of his, it makes the line hilarious.
I could not think of another person to play this role.
No.
Because
it would have been a very different film. It would have been so different.
Yeah.
It would have had to rely on a lot more of the dialogue. And I think I actually read that because the original script was written by these two screenwriters who, when the director took the film on and they cast Jim and they went to film it, all of the script pretty much got rewritten except for the basic premise. So, because they had to change it to accommodate for Jim Carrey's comedy.
Yeah.
But it makes me interested in what the original script was like. Like, what elements? Obviously, the main storyline is there, but, like, what were the jokes? Because they couldn't have been the same kind of jokes.
Yeah, it would have had to be totally kind of molded for Jim Carrey's type of comedy.
And I don't know what kind of, like, would it still be remembered as well? Do you know what I mean? Would it have faded into the background? Would people, like, would we wanted to have rewatched it over and over again?
Exactly. I don't know. I genuinely cannot answer that question. Do you know who did rewrite the script?
I think it was the director and someone else. It was originally written by Paul Guay and Stephen Mazur, but it was rewritten. I don't know where I wrote the note. I may not have written it, but just read it.
Because I've got a quote here from IMDb's trivia, but I don't want to say it in case you've got something.
Tom Shadyac and Mike Binder.
So an uncredited was Judd Apatow.
And apparently during filming, they had Steve Odenkirk also doing bits.
Any relation to Bob Odenkirk?
I don't know, actually. Maybe. With that kind of name, you'd think they might be related somehow.
I was going to say, it's not your common name, is it?
No. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I could probably look it up, but fine, I'll do it. You entertain them. Juggle.
I entertain them. Well, if we're going away from, like, quotes and stuff, I did write down a few bits that, as a kid, it made me really want, and the same now. I think we have mentioned this, by the way, with, how do you pronounce her name? Is it Maura Tierney?
Yeah, I guess so.
Tierney? She plays Audrey, and I'm sure everyone mostly knows her for ER.
Yeah.
She has been in Insomnia, Diggers, The Good Wife, and more currently The Affair.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of had a similar Rachel hair vibe.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you brought that up.
So I wanted it. Every time I saw it, I wanted it.
I didn't necessarily want her hair, but I wrote down in my notes, actually, because when I used to watch this, I had serious Jennifer Aniston vibes from her.
Yeah.
Even her mannerisms, like at the proposal at the table where she's drinking and trying to avoid answering the question. I was like, all right, trying to be Rachel.
Yes. I mean, she's no Rachel.
She's not Rachel.
She's Rachem.
It doesn't sound like they're related. It doesn't say on IMDb anyway.
Oh, okay.
But Steve Odenkirk is known for being good friends with Jim Carrey.
So things I wanted. The Rachel hair. When she is having a meal with Jerry and she's eating spaghetti, it always made me want spaghetti.
Oh, really? I didn't want spaghetti, but I really liked that restaurant.
Did we find the location?
I did.
Does it still exist?
Oh, yeah, it does. Hold on, let me find it just in case anyone in you know, there.
For those of you that don't know Meryl and myself personally, whenever we plan a trip away, we plan it around food first.
Yes. And if there's a film included in the food, even better. Does that make sense? But the restaurant was Bistro Gardens. And just for anyone in California, 12950 Ventura Boulevard.
I wonder what the reviews are like.
I know. Can someone go and like try it and send us pictures?
And an example of food that's been in film or something that Meryl and I have been to is Panatou Garden in New York City. Recommend it. It was in Daredevil. And
probably some other stuff since. But yeah,
oh, it's been in a lot since. And before, I think.
Visually, it's an interesting place because it's got loads of Christmas lights. Like, so much that if
it's
you're
like
a tall person,
peppers.
You probably can't even walk upright. For us, it's okay. But, yeah, the food, oh my God. Like, I'm not that bothered about curry, but oh my god.
I love a good curry, but yeah. The fact that you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Like, I just want to go back there for that bad boy.
I know. Oh, the chicken was so juicy.
Oh, stop it. I'm hungry now. Oh, nothing in this film food-wise ever got my attention, weirdly enough. Oh. But...
yeah, you weirdo.
I do want the house that they live in, which I looked up as well.
Yes.
It's... sorry about anyone who lives there. It's 1004 Highland Street in South Pasadena. It still looks like that in Google Maps. But in the scene where he's being lifted up in a stretcher, apparently in the background, there's a cameo by a character he played or someone else played, I don't know, in Living Colour called Fire Marshal Bill. I'm going to look him up now because I don't actually know if it's a Jim Carrey character and he just played it or another mm-hmm. character, but... yeah, apparently he's in the background for people that were fans. Fire Marshal Bill. I just want to know for sure because I didn't bother looking it up before. Yes, I'll just show you a picture. I don't know how people notice this. This is the character.
Oh my God.
I'll post a picture of it on Instagram or
that's
something.
That's slightly creepy.
If we go away from like the actual like scenes or whatever, you know, I think I read that the inspiration for the story came from like Big.
Yeah.
You know, with the
wish.
Yeah,
I think so.
But there were elements. I mean, there was a lot of this kind of stuff, I think, in the 90s, because even though it wasn't necessarily a magical story, like Home Alone is not necessarily like he made a wish and it came true exactly. But it kind of is, because if you remember the scene, so Kevin has an argument with his family, and then he says, you know, I don't want to see any of you or whatever. And he goes up to the room and he says, I wish they would all just disappear. And then you have like the storm outside and they zoom in on Santa Claus's face and the wires cut. So, you know, it could just be coincidence, but it also gives the idea that, oh, is it something kind of magical?
Yeah.
And in the scene in this where... you know, Max blows out the candles and you follow the smoke. That kind of reminded me of that same sort of thing. I felt like it took some inspiration from that too. Like kids, when they really want something, they can make it happen. Be careful, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not piss off kids.
Exactly.
I would say it's still probably my favorite Jim Carrey movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, like out of all of his movies.
Yeah, but I don't know whether it's to do with the nostalgia aspect for it, because I hold it so dearly, but I would say that is my favourite one of his.
See, my favourite, I mean, as far as like maybe being a movie where it allows him to just be, you know, as ridiculous as he wants to be, I would say Dumb and Dumber is my favourite of his films. But if I'm going by like the whole thing, Truman Show is my favourite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Truman Show is a completely different...
yeah, but it's still a film of his. So I'm picking it, okay? It is great.
You know what, though? One that I haven't actually seen enough is The Cable Guy. So that is one that I do want to go back to watching.
You know what? I forgot that he was also in... I wouldn't put it amongst my favourites, but I feel like we should mention it. Batman Forever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's not obviously one of my favourites. But
no. But I loved it when it was new. Like, I actually enjoyed that movie. And
he works as the Riddler.
Yeah, he does. He wasn't the problem with that film. I mean, to be honest.
There was a whole lot of problems with that film.
Well, not necessarily.
It wasn't him.
No, but I don't... like, people think back and they have a problem with Batman Forever, but they're looping it in with Batman and Robin. And
yeah,
Batman and Robin is the rubbish one, right?
Yeah,
Batman Forever was the reason Batman and Robin got made, because Batman Forever was loved quite a lot. And now people hate both.
What was the difference between the two? As in, in when they were
released? Well, they both had the same director, which is why I think they get bunched together. Well, the differences are that Val Kilmer wasn't in it, so it was George Clooney.
We don't really want to go into George Clooney's nipples, but...
well, there was a lot wrong in that movie, but let's not just blame the nipples. I mean, the whole thing was bad.
You know what? I've never seen it all the way through.
Really? Don't bother. See, I recommend watching Batman Forever. Why are you shaking your head?
I mean, he's got Arnie in it as well.
No, he's not in Batman Forever.
Oh, no, is he in Batman and Robin?
Yeah. Batman Forever just has Val Kilmer, who actually does a decent job, Chris O'Donnell, Jim Carrey, Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, of course Tommy Lee Jones is in it.
I can't remember who else was in it now. Who was the woman? Oh, Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this is it. You're right. They bunched the two films together and everyone just assumes they're both terrible.
Because I really loved that at the time. I had the folder and the pencil case. Because it had the logo of the Batman signal surrounded by the question mark for the Riddler.
Yes.
And I was loving it. And obviously I had Kiss from a Rose.
Kiss from a Rose is like my guilty pleasure. And you too, hold
me,
thrill
me, kiss me, kill me, kill me.
Oh my God. I have those sound. I have.
I feel
the
like we're
going
to have to recap this movie one day. I think we should just do ourselves a favor and watch it.
But anyway, that was it.
Let's just round off some Jim Carrey stuff since he's been in this movie. Most recently, even though he refuses to accept it, he was in Kick-Ass 2.
Oh yeah,
which he was really good in.
I never watched the second one.
Okay, no, it was quite good, and yeah, he was playing very different, but I liked him in that. Sonic the Hedgehog as Dr. Robotnik, and he's also in part two, so, and that's coming out soon, I think.
Yeah,
and he was in a recent TV show which I actually watched a few episodes of called Kidding, where he plays a children's TV show host who has like puppets and stuff. It got cancelled after two seasons, unfortunately, but it is available to watch, I think, on Sky or Now TV if you're in the UK. And we are done. Our first movie recap. What did you think? Did you enjoy it? Did we make you want to go and watch Liar Liar again? If you own it or if you can stream it, then go watch.
Now this year, the 27th of May, is a big deal for us. It's only the Friends reunion, Meryl.
Ah!
We've been waiting impatiently for almost 20 years for this, so apologies for our enthusiasm.
But if you're anything like us, you are just as excited. At the time of this recording, we currently don't know where and when it will air in the UK, but trust us, we'll get our hands on it somehow.
Oh, we will. We will. And when we do, we'll be recording our podcast all about it. It might be a lot of crying, so apologies in advance.
In the lead up to the reunion, we want to hear from you. What are you most looking forward to? Who do you think will cry out of the cast first? What do you hope they'll talk about or recreate? Let us know by heading to our socials on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Geekly Recap Pod.
Or head to our website, geeklyrecap.weebly.com, and contact us through there.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.